Today is November 15th, 2024, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News offers four newsletters, First Up published Monday to Friday and sent at 9 a.m. Eastern Time? Military Space is sent out Tuesday, Space Next AI on Thursday, and on Friday, we send out a curated newsletter of the week's top stories in our Space News This Week newsletter. Visit spacenews.com to sign up.
Here are today's top headlines in space. AST SpaceMobile announced Thursday launch contracts with Blue Origin and others to deploy a set of direct-to-device satellites. The CEO of Intuitive Machines says some reformulation of NASA's Artemis lunar exploration campaign may be needed. Northrop Grumman plans to launch a satellite servicing mission in 2026 after achieving a key milestone in its development. A Chinese official endorsed cooperation with the United States in space exploration. And China unveiled the latest version of its Long March 9th heavy-lift rocket that is strongly inspired by SpaceX's Starship.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that AST SpaceMobile announced Thursday launch contracts with Blue Origin and others to deploy a set of direct-to-device satellites. The company said it signed contracts for the launch of up to 45 Block 2 Bluebird satellites with options for 15 additional satellites, enough to provide coverage across the United States and other key markets, such as Europe and Japan. An Indian GSLV rocket will first launch a single Block 2 Bluebird, followed by two SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets, each carrying four satellites. The remainder would be launched eight at a time on Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket. AST SpaceMobile expects to start launching Block 2 Bluebirds, with antennas nearly four times the size of those on Block 1 satellites deployed in September in mid-2025. The CEO of Intuitive Machines says some reformulation of NASA's Artemis lunar exploration campaign may be needed. Speaking on an earnings call Thursday, Steve Altemus said that budgetary and schedule realities may require NASA to alter its approach to Artemis. He advocated for what he called an infrastructure-first approach that develops capabilities, such as transportation and communications, needed to support future sustained crewed missions. Such an approach would benefit Intuitive Machines, which has developed lunar landers and won a NASA contract in September for lunar data relay services. The company disclosed on the call that its next lander mission, IM-2, is now scheduled for launch in February. It also said it has taken over operations of the main camera on NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, as well as the NASA-funded ShadowCam instrument on the Korea Pathfinder Lunar Orbiter, after the principal investigator for both cameras joined the company. Northrop Grumman plans to launch a satellite servicing mission in 2026 after achieving a key milestone in its development. The Naval Research Lab said Thursday it completed testing of a pair of robotic arms it developed for the Mission Robotic Vehicle, MRV, delivering them to Northrop for integration onto that spacecraft. MRV will be used by Space Logistics, a subsidiary of Northrop, to extend the life of GEO satellites by installing mission extension pods, systems that can take over propulsion for aging satellites for up to 6 years. A Chinese official endorsed cooperation with the United States in space exploration. Speaking at the Beyond Earth Symposium this week, Zhou Guolin, Minister Counselor for Science and Technology at the Chinese Embassy in Washington, said his country welcomes participation from all nations, including the U.S., on space exploration, and expressed optimism that such cooperation might one day be possible. He did not offer any specific proposals for cooperation. Bilateral cooperation between NASA and Chinese entities is sharply restricted by the Wolf Amendment, and U.S. officials have shown little interest in removing or otherwise reducing those restrictions. China unveiled the latest version of its Long March 9th heavy-lift rocket that is strongly inspired by SpaceX's Starship. The revised Long March 9th design, unveiled at the Zhuhai Air Show, features a two-stage design where both stages land and are reused. Chen Ziyu, a designer at the China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology, said the Long March 9th can place 100 tons in low Earth orbit and 50 tons into a lunar transfer orbit, but said that reusability will come later in the vehicle's development. The design of the Long March 9th has evolved considerably over several years, starting with more traditional expendable concepts. In other news, companies are turning to artificial intelligence to handle the more tedious parts of proposal writing for government contracts. Those AI tools can be used to scan government databases to identify the most relevant contract opportunities and to ensure that proposals meet all the requirements and specifications included in requests for proposals. Companies developing such AI tools argue they are intended to accelerate responses to government RFPs, not replace human proposal writers. Impulse Space has purchased 3 Falcon 9 launches for its Helios transfer vehicle. The company said Thursday it signed a contract with SpaceX for the launches, the first of which is scheduled for mid-2026 from Florida. That launch will be the inaugural flight of Helios, carrying a payload for the Victus Sergo mission for the Space Force and Defense Innovation Unit. Impulse said the schedule and payloads for the other 2 Helios launches will be determined later. Helios is a high-energy kickstage announced by Impulse in January, intended to quickly move payloads from LEO to GEO or other orbits. The Southwest Research Institute, SWRI, won a $60 million contract to build 3 instruments for monitoring the sun. NASA, acting on behalf of NOAA, announced Thursday it awarded SWRI the contract to build the coronagraph instruments for the Lagrange 1 series project, part of NOAA's Space Weather Next program. The coronagraphs, like the other Space Weather Next instruments, are designed to gather data for NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center, which issues forecasts, alerts, and warnings of geomagnetic activity caused by solar storms. Reuters reports that the CEO of Airbus believes that SpaceX would be considered a monopoly in Europe. Speaking at an aviation event in Germany Thursday, Guillaume Faury argued that SpaceX's super-concentrated business model that combines satellite manufacturing, launch, and operations is something that would run afoul of antitrust rules in Europe. He acknowledged that Airbus and other European companies need to adapt to SpaceX. If we don't move in launchers and in satellites, if we just stay with where we are, we're going to be obsolete. The CBC reports that the Canadian province of Ontario is buying capacity on Starlink. The Ontario government announced the Ontario Satellite Internet Program Thursday, spending $92 million Canadian, $66 million, to reserve capacity on Starlink for 15,000 customers in the province and will pay installation and equipment fees. Officials said they held a competitive procurement that led them to select Starlink, but did not disclose what other proposals it received. Bloomberg reports that SpaceX has reportedly dropped plans to swap land for its Starbase site. The company originally proposed a deal with Texas officials to transfer 477 acres near a wildlife refuge to the state in exchange for 43 acres of Boca Chica State Park adjacent to Starbase. However, in a letter to state officials, the company said it is no longer interested in that swap, but didn't explain why. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission had approved the swap earlier this year, but was then sued by local groups who alleged the agency had not considered alternatives.